Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. I am super excited because we can finally stop talking about this event and all of the rumored products, and we can jump right into like what actually got announced. But before we do that, Hartley, good afternoon. How is the weather? I have a weather update, by the way, but I'll wait my turn.
At this point, I'm just desensitized to it. The weather's the weather, you know.
Yeah, the weather's the weather. Are we done with this bit, or should we keep it going?
I don't know. I'll be led by the comments.
Okay. I think we could probably retire it. But I do have a weather update, because if people are like, why is Dan yawning so much? I could not sleep last night. I like fell asleep on the couch, went up. It was like 1 a.m. And the moment I laid down, I slept for like 30 minutes. And then a huge crack of thunder hit. And that woke me up. And then I just could. And then like the kids woke up because they were scared. And I just, it was stormed like that from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. for 5 hours straight, just nonstop. So it was really hard to fall back asleep. So I'm pretty exhausted. But yeah, I mean, it's perfectly sunny now. It's going to be a nice hot day. And the kids had the school closed yesterday due to heat. So everybody in the comments could say anything. Like back in my day, we had to go to school still. Like that's all the things I keep hearing. Yeah. So you know what's going to keep continuing on, though, even though we have a lot of leaks happening? The event's still going to happen. That is my segue into what's coming next week. I do want to quickly acknowledge one comment, because I'm probably going to say something. We laughed about it. I don't think we talked about it on air, but I have to bring it up. Somebody commented in the Michael Fisher episode where we were talking about the iPhone Ultra that they think, and I don't know, I can find it, but I think I know it off the top of my head enough. They think that Dan, this was a quote, that was that Dan likes the new and shiny things and really wants them, but then the moment he gets them, realizes that they're just not as good as what we've had before, and then he no longer likes it. And I'm like, well, that made me feel very seen, and that person is very correct. I fear that is my personality, unfortunately. Whether that's good or bad, you know, we don't need to talk about
that.
Our
audience knows you too well.
Yeah, they know me better than I know myself. Like, I know it, but I'm afraid to admit that. That was like, you know, it's like coming to grips with it. So I am coping on this. And the reason why I bring that up is because when we talk about the iPhone Ultra, I'm mega excited for it. I can't wait to use it. I'm afraid that I probably won't stick with it after I like use it for a while. And I don't know why. Is it just like, because I have the Z Fold 8. I use that. I love it when I pick it up. I'm like, this is so cool. And then when I use it throughout the day and then I pick up my other iPhone, I'm like, oh man, what was I doing? Like, this is just so classic and timeless. I'm just going to stick with it. So what's wrong with me? I don't know. We don't need to talk about it in the comments, but I just wanted to say thank you for pointing that out. Anyways, moving on. Hartley, what do you think Apple's going to kick us off with on Wednesday, September 9th? How do you think they're going to start the show? John Ternus now, no longer Tim Cook.
Yes, so he will be kicking off the event for us, which will be a little bit strange, but probably more interesting than normal to start an event, because that's something new right out of the gate that is not a product.
Hold on real quick. Do you think, because when we go to the event, and I don't think you guys see this, this is not something that's like shown, correct? Usually execs come out and kind of like talk about stuff. It's always Tim Cook, but then like I think last year we had Craig. I don't know if this, like, for WWDC it might have been Craig, but for the Apple events I think it's just Tim and maybe someone else, maybe Jaws comes out, and they kind of do a little banter, talk about the iPhone, blah blah blah. Do you think Tim will come out one last time and like introduce John, and like that's the final transition, or is that over with and he's gone?
Yeah, I think that's over with now. They've done his farewell. I mean, we'll still see him around inevitably. He's going to be dealing with a lot more policy matters. He's still, you know, a present Apple employee.
I think he'll be at the event, but
I don't think that Tim Cook would want to steal the show from John Ternus, and there's no need for it now. You know, they've made a lot of fanfare over Tim's departure, and it's now time for John.
Okay. Anyways, I agree with you, but keep going.
So I think this is going to be a fairly conventional iPhone event in terms of what we're expecting with different products. So obviously the iPhone, the Apple Watch, which we get every year around this time, and also AirPods, which although we don't get that every year alongside new iPhones and Apple Watches, I feel like more often than not, we do seem to get new AirPods models. And that is something that seems to have fallen into place over the last few weeks. Not the AirPods Pro, which we got last year. This time it's the AirPods 5. So that would be available in both variations, one with active noise cancellation and one without.
Yeah, this could very well just be a press release kind of update, but like...
I don't know that it would be though, because it's a very popular product. It's a very affordable product. And also, in all likelihood, this would be the debut of the H3 chip.
H3, that's true.
Which should be significant. So when we received the AirPods Pro last year, even though they followed a considerable amount of time after the previous AirPods Pro, I feel like it was 2 years off the top of my head, they still had the same chip. They still had the same H2. So all of those extra capabilities, that new design, still carried over the same silicon. So this would be significant if the new AirPods had that H3 chip, because it would enable presumably better audio quality and improved active noise cancellation in a design that you can't do a huge amount with. So that's where the chip becomes particularly significant. So I think they definitely can get some stage time out about that.
Sure, I agree. It's one of those things where, like, if they're ready to go and you're going to release them anytime soon, you might as well do it at this event, because, like you've said, AirPods have come traditionally. They're an iPhone, not only product accessory, but, like, that's kind of what people use them with the most. So it makes sense. We got AirPods, what, Pro 3 last year. I am shocked that we're not getting the heart rate sensor trickled down to this, or at least that's one of the rumors. German says that he does not expect the AirPods Pro 3 heart rate sensor to carry over. I don't see why not, especially since Beats, you know, had it first and then the AirPods. Like, I just assume that would be something that would come down to all the lineups. Maybe it would be in just one of those models, like the active noise cancellation one only. I wouldn't be surprised, but
I don't know. I think that would be considered a pro feature. I think there are some issues with fit, because... in the Beats and with the AirPods Pro, of course, you have those silicone ear tips that get a very snug fit against the skin, whereas the standard AirPods don't have silicone ear tips and have a much looser, more relaxed, dare I say it, more comfortable fit in the ear. And I imagine that may also have some bearing on the heart rate sensor. I would never say never, but I just don't think it's a priority to bring to this kind of low-end device.
That makes more sense. I wouldn't gate it, though, as a pro feature. I also would love to hear from everyone that's listening, if you have a pair that has that feature, how often do you use it? Because it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, I don't ever need to use it, because I either have my watch with me if I'm doing something outdoors and, like, need to capture heart rate sensor. I guess it is nice to have. It is definitely a nice to have, just in case you go out and you don't have your watch and you want to track that workout and, like, get the information. But I don't know, still, it's not something I ever use.
Yeah, I don't ever use it. I actually don't think I've used it once since I've had my AirPods Pro, because I think that the number of scenarios where you would perhaps not be wearing your Apple Watch but would be wearing your AirPods and be completing a workout is relatively narrow. And I feel like part of the advantage of Apple Watch health tracking is that it's largely ambient. It triggers independently and it's measuring your heart rate in the background. So you do see your moves ring around, your rings move around by themselves. But with the AirPods Pro, you have to actually manually enable a workout, which is not something I really think to do. And I'm sure that there are some people out there that maybe really like to wear a mechanical watch even during a workout, and they love their AirPods Pro, and maybe they do use their AirPods Pro for heart rate tracking, but I've got to think that's a pretty small minority of AirPods Pro users.
I agree. Like you said, I have also not used it, but I mean, I used it for testing when the, you know, reviews were happening during that process, but besides that, never once needed to use it. Also, this is my first time using the Apple Watch Ultra 3 aside from testing. I have not worn it one day actually at all. I don't think I actually reviewed this at all. I didn't. I used the Watch 11, which is a good transition into the 4. Am I going to basically just be looking at the same thing here, or is there going to be something better that you can expect?
This is... I mean, we've discussed this pretty extensively, that the Apple Watch is this is not an exciting year for the Apple Watch. That doesn't mean to say there won't be some upgrades here. Of course, there will be a few. But in terms of Apple Watch Ultra specifically, we can perhaps expect improvements with satellite connectivity, which debuted last year. But satellite is getting some expansions. We should see it on the iPhone as well, with the ability to effectively load more over satellite. So expanding slightly beyond just basic satellite features, perhaps the ability to send images, load maps, things like that. But I don't know that there will be anything else that is Apple Watch Ultra specific. Something I do find interesting about the Apple Watch Ultra 4, in fact, and I find it interesting in that it's boring, is that this would be pretty unheard of to have the same Apple Watch design for the fourth successive generation. Every other Apple Watch design has only lasted for three generations. So I don't know what that says about the Apple Watch Ultra 4. Part of me hopes they are going to surprise us and say, oh, well, it's now got a thinner casing and a longer battery life or something like that. That would be nice to see.
The event is called Surprise and Shine, so we're in store for a lot of surprises.
Well, I hope so, but something tells me the Apple Watch is maybe not that product.
You know what sucks about the business that we're in? I mean, I love this job, and I'm sure you do too, but I'm just never surprised anymore, which is like kind of a bummer.
I am surprised, but not at the things that I think people would expect me to be. So,
Okay.
You know, someone asked me the other day, you know, what am I looking forward to at the Apple event? And my answer was, well, I will look forward to the tiny little features.
Yeah.
Truly just the tiny little unexpected things, like when they release, I don't know, an Apple Watch in yellow or just something that we did not hear at all, but no one else will really care about.
Or like, that's why WWDC is so great. Even though we do expect like a lot of like things and we still have a lot of leaks and rumors, it's the features that you see that you don't know about, or even if you like heard about it but you're still like, I don't know what that is, then you see it happen. That's nice. That doesn't happen as often with hardware releases because we kind of know everything. Sometimes we do get a little surprised. Like, we kind of knew about the dual recording last year, right? When they talked about it. Or was that surprise? I can't remember.
I don't remember, but I agree with you. It tends to be
like software
around those smaller features.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable that particularly with things like the iPhone, they're the subject of so much speculation. They are produced in such vast quantities that the vast majority of new iPhone features does leak every year. But other things, little things that come to other products, like last year, the Series 11, one of its key features, I don't really know why they were grasping at straws with this, but one of them was that it had a stronger front crystal. That was not rumored at all. We had not heard that at any time prior. So although that's ostensibly a pretty boring thing, my ears do prick up when I hear that kind of thing in the event because it's just something I haven't heard before.
Yeah. You know what got me last year? And it was probably talking, I mean, I don't remember any, the rumors, once the event's done, the rumors in my brain go in a trash can, so I don't remember what was leaked or not. I'm sure Ceramic Shield 2 was like, hey, we're going to get an upgrade on that, or at some point, I'm sure that was talked about. That was my biggest surprise, though, was just how good it was. Like, and I know I've said that a million times, but like that's the kind of stuff that surprises me these days. And it wasn't even like something that you realize until you actually get the phone in hand. So is there anything with the Series 11 and Apple Watch Ultra to kind of rehash here? I mean,
we should definitely mention the chip because that's going to be the big new feature. This is the first year for 3 years that the Apple Watch is going to have a meaningful performance improvement. And crucially, this comes at a time when we're actually getting the Siri app on the Apple Watch. And Apple could certainly lean into Apple Intelligence support and lean into on-device AI capability. Now, I don't know if they will go that far, but it would be a very good selling point if they could say, even if you have no internet connectivity, the S11 chip is powerful enough to be able to answer a number of basic Siri requests on device. Just how far that goes and the scope of that, I don't know. But I think that they've got to be able to show something more than just saying, okay, apps open faster with the S11. And to me, AI would be the place to do that. We don't need Image Playground on the Apple Watch or anything like that. But give us some Apple Watch Series 12 specific AI features that are leveraging that new processor. I think that would be a good thing to see and could entice a decent number of people, because ultimately the Apple Watch is becoming an AI wearable.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I'm fully into seeing what happens with the health kind of section of Apple's company, because with the Apple Watch, we have hit this impasse for years now. We said it right when we talked about it. There's nothing happening to this watch in terms of like wow factor, you know, major, you know, design changes and all that. I am very excited for the ceramic case coming back. If that is true, I will definitely get one. But like, that's not enough. And at some point we are going to be getting new things and new entirely different wearables. And that's exciting. But this year is not it. If you're somebody who has like, I don't know, a Series 6 or something, definitely consider upgrading. If you're like, hey, I need a new Apple Watch, this is lagging behind. But don't let our negativity, this isn't negativity. This is just like, we as weird folks who cover this.
It's just a small upgrade. That's yes. all it is. And yes, this is ultimately going to be people good. Coming from a much yes. older device. There is no way that there is going to be any reason to upgrade if you are coming from a Series 10 or a Series 11. Series 9, there may be a case for it because you're going to get the newer design that has been present for the last 2 years, along with a number of other smaller features. But I think that probably it doesn't become worth it unless you're like me with an Apple Watch Series 8 or older. And at that point, I think that they are stacking up just about enough to be worth it. And obviously, the Apple Watch Series 8 and older is no longer supported by watchOS as of watchOS 27. So it's a good time to upgrade anyway.
I think my wife had a 6. No, I just upgraded hers. But up until this past year, she was still using a 6, which... unacceptable on my end because, well, my wrists are bigger. So otherwise I would have just let her use one of the many watches over there. But yeah, I mean, definitely upgrade if you are a chronic Apple Watch user and you have put your current, I guess, Series 8 or older, through its paces. It's time, and it will be, like I was trying to say, this isn't negativity. I think people often say that we're too negative. It's not negativity. All of these products are good. Apple doesn't make... I should probably watch how I phrase this. Apple can make a bad product, but like overall, a lot of the products that come out from an overall tech standpoint, they are good products. You're not going to be disappointed. Reason why we are disappointed is because from a year-to-year basis on what we cover, it's just not a lot. It's not a huge difference, but these aren't catered to us and we fully understand that, but we're just kind of... maybe we should stop taking it from that approach, Hartley. We have to stop giving opinions.
I don't know, though. I mean, we have to be honest about the fact that it's not a huge upgrade year. And if we're talking about event expectations, no one is going to be coming away from this event super excited specifically for the Apple Watch Series 12.
But unless you haven't watched an event in 3 to 4 years, then you might be pretty excited. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to offer both perspectives. But... I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably just going to keep resorting back to what my normal takes here. With that said, that's a good segue into the iPhone 18 Pro and Pro Max, because there's more upgrades here, but there's not a whole lot compared to what we had last year, because last year was kind of the big upgrade year, correct?
I think last year was a bigger upgrade year than this year. And I think this year is a harder sell on account of the higher price point, which I think is going to overshadow a lot of this, because it's one thing for people to upgrade annually every 2 years. It's another when you're actually being asked to separate yourself from more money to be able to do that. And there are some good upgrades here. I think that the most significant is probably the variable aperture camera, which should unlock some improved photography capabilities. It'll be very interesting to see what actual photographers are able to do with this, particularly, say, in low light settings, particularly with portrait images. We should see some improvements. I'm very interested to see just how good that is. And I think that we can expect a significant amount of time to be spent on the camera system. And then we are still expecting some visual changes to the exterior of the device, what with the smaller dynamic island, which, although that's not going to change the world, it it may look a little bit more fresh. And we've got these new color options as well. And I think the dark cherry color option, it's very current. I think it will be incredibly popular. And also the sky blue. Sky blue is something we've seen kind of proliferating across different product lines. We've got it on the MacBook Air, on the iPad. It's a very popular color. I think people will be very happy with that as well.
But it doesn't look the same, or at least from the leaks that I've seen, that blue doesn't look like the normal sky blue. It looks darker.
I mean, it's. I don't think that they depict the shade accurately. Because those are largely from dummy models that are not even made from the same materials or finished in the same way. But they give you an approximation that it'll say, be...
Typically, they're pretty close, but like this, if it is the same, let's just say it is very close, okay? It's not, this is like classic Apple where their sky blues or their space grays, they're just entirely different shades year over year.
And it may well be a little bit more saturated than we've seen on other products. But either way, I think that the new colors will go down well. They'll be popular. Equally, the sort of the elimination of the two-tone effect on the rear of the device for this more uniform look will also make it just feel that little bit more fresh. I mean, this is not a radical redesign year. We've had that last year. So this is an iteration on that design. So although it's not going to be a seismic change, I do think it's a refinement and is something that maybe if you're coming from an iPhone 16 Pro, you'll really appreciate.
When did the darker color, like the space gray, pretty much black option get dropped in the rumor cycle? Because I feel like that just kind of happened overnight. It was rumored to be four colors for a while, and now all of a sudden we dropped the three with that darker one just being nixed.
It's hard to say when that's exactly happened. I mean, there have been a lot of conflicting rumors over color options. Mm-hmm. But most recently, really, it just comes down to the fact that all of these other colors have been seen in one way or another. They've been seen on accessories or in various other leaks, but we have not seen the dark color. I think, in fact, there was only one component that's leaked related to that, but it was hard to tell if that was legitimate or not. So maybe that it will actually be released, but ultimately, last year there were only three colors. Chances are this is the same design. There will only be three colors again. And Apple increasingly looks like it likes to change things up year on year with its iPhone colors. I think that probably chances are, considering they did a dark, almost black color option last year with this dark blue, maybe it's time for that one to disappear. I don't think that silver is going to disappear because it's too, they need something that's neutral. And I think that black on a, you know, a big slab phone is quite aggressive and is maybe a little bit more inelegant than something like a silver. And maybe that's the calculation they've made this year. But then probably next year, black will be the flagship color, having disappeared for 2 years. But they've just got to keep this cycle moving.
I just remember how pissed everybody was last year when there was no black. And I was like, well, there's blue. I mean, that blue is close enough. It's your dark option.
People will be more annoyed this year because they could at least buy that black, buy that dark blue last year. But
I mean, I guess your dark cherry is your closest option now, which I do kind of like. I don't know.
It's been growing on me.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's going to be the main one that I get. I don't know. This year is weird, man. Like, what am I going to get color-wise? What phone am I going to use? Also, am I going to use any of these pros? Am I just going to go to the Ultra, which we'll talk about in a little bit? Also, weirdly, Apple dropped a new feature yesterday that allows us to use both if we wanted to without having to worry about your number. I still don't quite understand how this works or why they did this. Is this like a specific to like you can go ahead and try out that iPhone Ultra and not have any like, I don't know, pushback. Like, what's the point of this? But just for those who don't understand what I'm talking about, can you give an update on that?
I think there are many use cases where you may want to use multiple iPhones with the same phone number. But it's hard to not see that through the lens of trying out this fancy new iPhone. But I think there are plenty of people that do want that capability.
I mean, narcissistically, I only feel like this is like a total YouTuber like feature. This is something that I've wished for years, where I'm like, man, I really want to like use the Air and the Pro, or the Pro Max and the Pro. I like switching between both, but I don't want to keep doing the eSIM. Sometimes I transfer eSIM and it gets just lost in the ether, and then I have to go to Verizon and have them somehow pull my number back because it never made the full transfer. That's a pain. This, for those who don't know what we're talking about, there's a new feature that's going to be coming in iOS 27 where you can basically just use your number on two different phones at the same time. I don't really know how it works, but it's just going to keep doing it. Like your phone, your main SIM still lives on whatever device you set it up on, but like you can still use the number on another one, which is cool. Like, I like that. That's awesome. That should be something that carriers should allow with like not just iPhone, but Android too. Like that would be, I don't know. Do you feel like more people would carry two different phones then?
Probably not.
Yeah. Just weird people like me.
Just YouTubers.
Yeah. And you, I feel like you'd want to try like an Android phone.
I don't know. Nah, I'm too entrenched in the ecosystem now.
That ecosystem's getting smaller by the day. The AirDrop works. You don't need AirDrop
anymore.
That's
true. That is true.
RCS is close, but not quite. All right. What features did we not talk about here? So C2 modem, I still don't know. I keep saying in my videos that that's probably going to be a region thing. US models are probably going to keep
right,
Qualcomm.
Because no millimeter wave, so you'll only see that outside the United States. We're expecting a redesigned camera control, which hopefully will work better, but it won't have that capacitive layer. So I hope they reconsider things like the amount of pressure that needs, maybe make it a little more mechanical. I think that
maybe
would
just
be quite exciting.
Just remove it.
They could do, although actually I do use it just to open the camera.
Well, yeah, me too.
So but. I'm happy to have it there as an additional action button. And then a larger battery, and obviously the A20 chip, which is going to deliver some of the improvements that we saw with the M6, which are good, and probably will be good for on-device AI.
18 Pro Max battery, by the way, sitting at a whopping 5,500 plus milliamp hours.
Supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly, all of the Lees there. That's a 500 milliamp hour jump, which is pretty wild. You are going to get a thicker body because of that, which is fine. It's going to be the heaviest iPhone, apparently. Yeah, I mean, do we just jump into the star of the show, though? I mean, this is what's gonna.
Yeah, it's the iPhone 18 Pro. Although I think it's a good upgrade, I think that this is one of the less exciting years for the iPhone. And it's inevitable that after you follow something like the iPhone 17 Pro, which was so popular and felt like such a huge upgrade, we got that telephoto camera and this new design that felt really different. It's just inevitable that it's hard to follow that up. And we're expecting another big upgrade year next year. So this is a little bit of an intermediary generation. And that's not to say that people won't really enjoy it. And there will almost certainly be some little surprise features in there that have not been rumored. But I think that those are pretty much the main upgrades. And the ones that will be most noticeable will be those little tiny design changes and probably the camera.
All right, time to move on to the iPhone Ultra. This is the surprise and the surprise and shine, I'm guessing. I mean, unless there's something else, I can't imagine. iPhone Ultra gets unveiled. What's your first thought going to be? How do you think you're going to react? Are you going to be like, okay, I'm going to have to try this? I know that's hard to predict, but...
I just can't decide what I'm going to do at the moment because I've been saying all year that I need the telephoto camera and I can't be without it. But at the same time, the more I think about it, the more I think that would the use case of that additional display area actually be more useful than the telephoto? So I don't know. I think it's probably worth a try, but
so
I just need to see it.
Here's the thing. On a daily basis, are you using your display more or your telephoto lens more?
And this is true. This is absolutely true. But nevertheless, I am very attached to that telephoto camera.
Sure. When you need it, you need it. Like, I agree with you. I 100%. But I think it's still worth a shot. Maybe I'm not encouraging that everyone goes out there and buys and then returns, but if you're someone who legitimately is on the fence and like has interest but doesn't know, I don't think it's going to hurt. And the, if you wait and you're like, well, I'll just wait a little bit, I don't know when you're going to get one. I think this is going to be, I'm obviously doing a full 180. I think after Samsung's popularity with it, I think people are going to eat this up. I think there's going to be a lot. Not only is there limited supply, which is the rumor for this, both phones apparently are going to, the 18 Pro Max, I guess all three, and the foldable. I think there's going to be some limited supply with hardware constraints and everything. So my recommendation would be, if you really are torn between either one, order both. You have 2 weeks. Figure out which one you're going to use and then return the other one. But like, only if you are dead serious about it. Don't just do it because you're like, oh, I just want to try it. And I know I'm not going to keep this. Like, then you're just taking away a unit from somebody that would actually use it. But if you're really like, I'm 60-40, 55-40, like whatever, I don't think it's going to hurt trying it. You're not going to be able to wait and pick one up later. I think it's going to be a while.
I think a lot of people will be very interested to try these out in Apple stores too. I think it's going to be very difficult to get around one of those tables to take a look at it for a while.
I would say, or you can do that, but that's not the same thing as like setting.
No, it's not the same, but I don't know how many buyers are going to buy both. I feel like with this foldable iPhone, I feel like Apple customers are going to fall very much into, they are 100% on board with it or not at all, and they're not interested. And I think it will actually be that hard to get hold of that you probably won't be able to very easily try both side by side at home.
You're also going to be spending like $4,000
delivery waits for one of those. That may not be possible. I think people will either I wouldn't say love it or hate it, but either love it or be totally disinterested in it.
I was going to say, I guess if you do buy the foldable, I mean, you will have pretty good resale on it and you can always go back to something else later.
Absolutely. And I think that it is a very intriguing device. You know, we talked about this with Michael Fisher a couple of weeks back. It really does exist in a kind of third space that we're not used to with the iPhone lineup, which historically has been very hierarchical, because there are some compromises here. You will have, there will be a crease in the display. You're not going to have Face ID. There will be no action button. There will be no capability to have a physical SIM. There are some drawbacks with all of these things, not to mention the lack of telephoto camera. And I think it was actually a report from Mark Gurman a few weeks ago that said the people that have actually tried the foldable iPhone inside Apple love it, but the biggest drawback is the camera. And that's a very difficult conundrum for a lot of buyers. And I think that that is going to be the focal point of a lot of our discussion after release about what we started this discussion with, which is display or camera. And normally you don't have to really make that trade-off in quite such a noticeable way, but you are either going to get a fantastic camera or a fantastic display, but you can't have both.
I think, like, I do really think that there are many reasons why Apple did that feature, but I do think this is one of them where, like, if you have a 16 Pro sitting around and you're thinking about getting the foldable, or maybe you bought a 17 Pro last year and you're thinking about getting the foldable, you could just keep your other phone, buy the foldable, and then those nights where you think, or, you know, hey, I'm going to be going out someplace cool, like, I'm going to want my telephone, I'm going to want all the cameras, maybe you don't take the iPhone Ultra with you and you can easily just have your number on that other phone and take it and go off and be on your way and not have to worry about it. You know, it's just, you don't have to switch anything. So
I think we'll see people doing all kinds of solutions. I mean, I've actually known people do that even with the iPhone Air, where they will carry an iPhone Air and then also an iPhone 17 Pro. But I mean, this is the fact is, this is not how ordinary consumers will behave. So realistically, people are just going to buy the Pro iPhone, and then a small minority of enthusiasts are going to love the foldable iPhone.
I don't expect normal people to carry both. I don't know. I don't know what I'm expecting, honestly, but I don't expect the initial wave of people who are going to order this to be like ordinary consumers. I think it's going to be the hardcore, you know, users, power users, all that.
Absolutely.
I think it'll sell well. And then later on, it'll eventually pick up and make its way down to the mainstream. But for those of you who are like, this is the first time I'm hearing about this, I don't know how that's possible, especially if you listen to this show regularly, but quick refresher. 7.8-inch inner display. That's when you unfold it. when you close it up, your day-to-day normal use display most likely will be your 5.5-inch cover. I gotta say, everybody that I talk to, and like if I have my Z Fold 8 with me, this happened last night. People are asking me about it. They're like, "Oh, the event's next week. Are you going?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, I can't wait to do the foldable." They're like, "Oh, it's I don't know if I'm gonna like that." And I'm like, "I don't know if I like the side. It's gonna be too thick." Or I'm like, "Okay, hold on 1 second." Give them the Z Fold 8 yesterday, and they literally were like, "Oh, like I really like this. Like this is nice. This isn't that bad." And another guy next to him was like, "Oh, that looks too thick." And then he unfolded it and showed him. He's like, "Oh, okay." Like then they, as soon as you get it in hand, it's one of those things you definitely need to experience in the hand where you realize like, okay, this is actually a pretty nice form factor. So I think if you're on the fence at all, you need to go and at least go to the Apple store and try it out. But I don't think you'll be disappointed. Titanium and aluminum frame, titanium for the stress bearing parts and aluminum for heat dissipation. Like that's good. I don't want this thing to get super hot. That's the one thing about switching back to the Air. It gets hot.
The foldable iPhone has a lot in common with the iPhone Air. I think even just in terms of the design, with a sort of frosted glass back, that polished titanium edge, it will look pretty similar. And even the camera plateau on the back, although you're going to get two cameras with the foldable, it's a pretty similar kind of pill-shaped camera plateau, quite different to what you'd see on a Pro model. So there are differences. I mean, even the punch hole cameras are going to be pretty radically different to anything we've seen on an iPhone before. Two front-facing cameras, one on the inner display, one on the outer, in the corners as well, which we've not had before. And presumably the dynamic island will emerge from them. So overall, the dynamic island will look tiny. It will look more like just a hole a lot of the time.
That's like the kind of surprise that we're going to get. It's like, how does that work? You know, even on the 18 Pro, like how is the dynamic island going to work? Because it's going to be different. If it's smaller, it can't hold as much
info. I don't know. It's going to be different on the iPhone 18 Pro. It's going to be smaller, but I don't know that there's going to be any difference in terms of interaction.
But they can't fit as much in there. So there's got to be some kind of difference.
No, but they don't need to fit as much in there.
Well, like when you look at like icons and stuff and things that happen in the dynamic island now, like if it's not
as because
wide,
that's display that is added outside the cutouts. So if the cutouts are smaller,
that's
the stuff
true.
Still
they
exists
just keep
outside
doing the whole
the cutouts.
Yeah. You're fine. I don't know how this is going to look with the hole punch. Honestly, I'm still kind of stuck on like the whole crease thing, whether the crease is going to be it's not an issue for me, but like crease or no crease, who knows? That'll be the surprise, I guess. I mean, we have no idea.
It probably will have a crease.
It's
going to be one of the better ones in its class.
In its video, when they do the whole, I guarantee you won't see a crease on that thing.
Yeah.
And you won't see a single crease. But then when they show you the actual product in hand, then it's like, oh, okay, they're gonna work that video to where you don't see it.
But it should still be subtle. It should be better than what we've seen on foldables for many years. It is a problem that does seem to be improving with a lot of the work competitors are doing, and a lot of this comes down to the hinge as well. And Apple supposedly constructed this pretty different mechanical hinge with liquid metal, which is something that it's been playing with for over a decade now, and it seems like it's finally found a good application for it. Yeah. Two batteries inside the iPhone. Software will determine the display state. It's a very different iPhone. It would be difficult to understate quite how radically different this will be from anything we have seen from Apple before.
I wonder how the battery life is going to be. I know it has a lot more that it needs to power and perform. So like, but I still feel like 5,800 milliamp hours, that's a big battery. Like, is that going to be as good as, you know, the Pro Max, or is it just because it has more displays and things that it needs to power that it's just going to be a little bit less? Like, I'd still take that.
I still think it'll be better than a Pro Max. I mean, they are large batteries.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Touch ID power button too. That's the other thing I'm skeptical on. I don't like the power buttons or the side buttons on some of these other foldables. It's also, you know what? Maybe this is where I've kind of I think this might be better only because the volume buttons are not next to it. I think that's also a huge reason why I don't like some of these other ones, because it's hard to tell which one is which sometimes. And they put them right above each other. And there's not a huge difference when you pull it out of your pocket and try to locate that right one. So the buttons being on the top, which I find weird, might actually be a pretty good use case for that specific scenario. What do you think?
I agree. And I actually think it's kind of okay to kind of jam both fingers at the top of the display, considering the whole thing is shorter. So it should be easier to locate. It's not going to be like a Pro iPhone that's actually a very tall shape. I don't think that will be bothersome. Also, I mean, that's partially related to repair, which is something that, again, we touched on with Michael a few weeks ago, but it's an under-discussed element of this device, which is Apple has supposedly designed it around repairability. Foldables are notoriously difficult to repair, but Apple's apparently kind of got this modular design, and part of it is related to the location of those buttons because it means they're not routing cables from one display to another. It's a much simpler internal design, so if they do need to conduct a repair, they are able to do so at scale, which is just not something we've seen from other manufacturers, and probably bodes well because there are moving parts in this device, and who knows what the dust resistance will be like on this or whatever. I mean, it's going to need repairs. So if that's something that you a sacrifice, if you want to see it that way, of having those volume buttons in a weird place, if that means that you're able to get your device repaired more reliably and more easily, then I think that's a worthwhile trade.
Yeah, I agree. Just everybody brace yourselves. There's going to be something that happens the first week with one of the phones, and it's going to be a whole thing. It might even be a gate, you know, a foldable gate or something. I don't know. Something stupid's going to happen, and everyone's going to think that this all is like just cut and dry for all the other phones. And I just, I hope not. Maybe I'll be wrong, but like, I just feel like there's going to be some, there's always something that happens. And like last year, it was the new aluminum scratches too easily. And then it was like, everyone thought that that was the case. Like I don't have any scratches on my aluminum in those spots that were like, was a thing that was happening. So, I just feel like there's going to be something stupid that comes out.
There's always like, something. And it's a first generation product. Exactly. It's very different. It's inevitable that there are going to be some issues with the device, and if not issues, things that are a little controversial. Not least the price, because although we know that $2,000, $2,000 plus is actually not that radical for a foldable, this is the first time that many people are really going to look at foldables. People that are very entrenched in the Apple ecosystem, I mean, foldables still only make up, 5% of the smartphone market. So there are plenty of people that have not even thought about buying a foldable. Many more will now consider it, and many more people are now going to see that a foldable iPhone costs $2,200. And if you want to add storage to that, it's going to maybe push past $2,500. That is very expensive and probably will be one of the most controversial parts of this device. I mean, I have no doubt I'm going to be seeing memes about people selling their kidney to buy a foldable iPhone, all that kind of thing. I don't doubt it.
I mean, but also that's why the Apple upgrade program exists. And then there's also financing through carriers, and it's going to be what, like $60 to $80, somewhere in that range, probably, depending on which model you get. It's not great, but it's not all $2,000 at once that you need to worry about. So, I mean, that'll be a little more digestible when you kind of look at the monthly prices. Maybe it's not even that high. I honestly don't know. I'm a little out of touch when it comes to what that is. But I'll have to take a look. I know like the Pros and Pro Maxes are like in the 40s. So I don't know. Last thing I want to touch, because there was a rumor that came out this week. Apple tested an Apple Pencil for it. and then ultimately that's probably going to get nixed. Do you think that's the case? Or do you think that might be be a surprise?
I don't see that happening. It's not to say it wouldn't happen eventually. I think that, I mean, it's pretty exciting, really. We used to say this about the Vision Pro. We used to say, oh, it's a first-generation product. Imagine what they will be able to do with a few years, a second, third, fourth generation. But the Vision Pro is not looking so good right now. The difference with the foldable iPhone is that there will be another one this time next year, and there will definitely be one a year after that. And we already have rumors about that third-generation device. So you know, all of these things that we're kind of thinking, oh, I don't know what the Touch ID will be like, and I don't know if I want to put up with no telephoto camera. I think that more and more of us in the tech community that are on the fence will move over to foldables. And I think, to be honest, most pro iPhone customers over the next decade will probably move over to the foldable, especially as we get used to rising device prices and that becomes less visible, less controversial. And we do get things like the telephoto camera. And to bring it back to the Apple Pencil, there's nothing to say that with a fourth generation foldable iPhone, they could think, okay, we can make a foldable, we can make a pencil that snaps on the side in just the right way and it's not too big and it's useful and it supports these gestures and whatever. But I think that to try and ship that with the first generation product would be maybe a little bit too ambitious. I don't know that that's going to sell the foldable iPhone.
No, but it would be cool. I mean, it would be just another like cool use case to show like other people what you can do with it.
I mean, I think it would be useful. I mean, we are expecting the foldable iPhone to grow in size with that third generation model. Both the inner and outer display should be bigger. If that's the case, at that point, it should be quite a large canvas for something like note-taking or illustration. And I could see it. I could see it but not yet.
You're not that far off from an iPad mini, though. So it's like...
I think a bigger issue is just like, what do you do with it when you're carrying it around? Does it snap on the side? Like we've seen from Samsung that although you can put it inside the device, that takes up a lot of internal space. I don't think Apple would do that. They would sell some
case that would like somehow attack, you know, that would be my guess.
Maybe, but like, I think that the key thing is that because styluses are ultimately a bit weird and they're a bit, especially on phones, I think that people think of people that maybe, how do I say this? People that are not very confident with their devices, maybe of an older generation that used to use those little touchscreen styluses.
Yeah, my parents.
Yeah, so I think that look is not very contemporary and maybe would go against some of the marketing of this device. So that's not to say that eventually we could not see a stylus when Apple needs to reinvigorate the iPhone Ultra in 5 years' time and give it an exciting new accessory. But for the first generation model, no way.
I don't think they would show it as like somebody using it to navigate. I think it would be more like, look at the notes that you can take in your meeting. Businessman doing business things.
I think it's still
look at the drawing.
It just looks bad.
I agree.
Just for marketing purposes, it just looks bad.
I don't know if I agree with that specific thing. I agree that it's probably not what Apple would want to like showcase, but I don't know that it's a big deal. I think sometimes we overthink these things, but it's not going to happen. I'm pretty the last thing I want to say that's probably not going to happen, but I guess has a small possibility are these Home products, but I'm pretty sure they're not. Are you, in a couple word answer, do you think that's going to happen?
Probably not. I mean, if we did get a new Apple TV and HomePod mini in the first 15 minutes of the event with barely any new features and just a chip refresh, that wouldn't surprise me. But I think and I hope that Apple holds off and gives us a dedicated home event with the new smart home hub and really gives some time to showcase these products. And I hope that they've got more to just show off about the Apple TV and the HomePod and the new chip.
Especially if it has new Siri, like show me how to use the new Siri with this specific product. Like what can I do that would make my life better? Like that's the kind of stuff that we would want.
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to happen because I think there's going to be some sort of October event, or even if it's like an online event, like not even like an event, but you know how they did that with the 16E where there was like, there's something happening. And then they just released the video at like 10 a.m. or whatever. Even if they did that, like that's fine. It doesn't need to be like a full-on invite the press to Apple Park kind of thing. Although I would not be opposed to that. All right. Well, we are just less than 1 week away from the event on September 9th. Obviously, MacRumors.com will have everything. There's a live blog. There'll be articles going out as stuff happens in real time. I will be at the event covering live. Hopefully, I can get videos out ASAP, but There will be stuff coming. Don't worry about that. I'll have you covered on the channel. We will do a podcast, though, probably later in the week. I mean, it'll still come out on Friday, but I'll just have to work harder.